This is the reading for April 22nd. Psalm 112. Happy are those who respect the Lord, who want what He commands. Their descendants will be powerful in the land. The children of honest people will be blessed. Their houses will be full of wealth and riches, and their goodness will continue forever. A light shines in the dark for honest people, for those who are merciful and kind and good. It is good to be merciful and generous. Those who are fair in their business will never be defeated. Good people will always be remembered. They won't be afraid of bad news. Their hearts are steady because they trust the Lord. They are confident and will not be afraid. They will look down on their enemies. They give freely to the poor. The things they do are right and will continue forever. They will be given great honor. The wicked will see this and become angry. They will grind their teeth in anger and then disappear. The wishes of the wicked will come to nothing. Judges chapter 11. Jephthah was a strong soldier from Gilead. His father was named Gilead, and his mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife had several sons. When they grew up, they forced Jephthah to leave his home, saying to him, "You will not get any of our father's property because you are the son of another woman." So Jephthah ran away from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. There some worthless men began to follow him. After a time, the Ammonites fought against Israel. When the Ammonites made war against Israel, the older leaders of Gilead went to Jephthah to bring him back from Tob. They said to him, "Come and lead our army so we can fight the Ammonites." But Jephthah said to them, "Don't you hate me? You forced me to leave my father's house. Why are you coming to me now that you are in trouble?" The older leaders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "It is because of those troubles that we come to you now. Please come with us and fight against the Ammonites. You will be the ruler over everyone who lives in Gilead." Then Jephthah answered, "If you take me back to Gilead to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord helps me win, I will be your ruler." The older leaders of Gilead said to him, "The Lord is listening to everything we are saying. We promise to do all that you tell us to do." So Jephthah went with the older leaders of Gilead, and the people made him their leader and commander of their army. Jephthah repeated all of his words in front of the Lord at Mizpah. Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites, asking, "What have you got against Israel? Why have you come to attack our land?" The king of the Ammonites answered the messengers of Jephthah, "We are fighting Israel because you took our land when you came up from Egypt. You took our land from the Arnon River to the Jabbok River to the Jordan River. Now give our land back to us peacefully." Jephthah sent the messengers to the Ammonite king again. They said, "This is what Jephthah says. Israel did not take the land of the people of Moab or Ammon. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they went into the desert to the Red Sea and then to Kadesh. Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom saying, 'Let the people of Israel go across your land.' But the king of Edom refused. We sent the same message to the king of Moab, but he also refused. So the Israelites stayed at Kadesh. Then the Israelites went into the desert around the borders of the lands of Edom and Moab. Israel went east of the land of Moab and camped on the other side of the Arnon River, the border of Moab. They did not cross it to go into the land of Moab. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of the city of Heshbon, asking, 'Let the people of Israel pass through your land to go to our land.' But Sihon did not trust the Israelites to cross his land, so he gathered all of his people and camped at Jahaz and fought with Israel. But the Lord, the God of Israel, handed Sihon and his army over to Israel. All the land of the Amorites became the property of Israelites. So Israel took all the land of the Amorites from the Arnon River to the Jabbok River, from the desert to the Jordan River. It was the Lord, the God of Israel, who forced out the Amorites ahead of the people of Israel. So do you think you can make them leave? Take the land that your God Chemosh has given you. We will live in the land the Lord our God has given us. Are you any better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever quarrel or fight with the people of Israel? For 300 years the Israelites have lived in Heshbon and Aroer and the towns around them and in all the cities along the Arnon River. Why have you not taken these cities back in all that time? I have not sinned against you, but you are sinning against me by making war on me. May the Lord, the judge, decide whether the Israelites or the Ammonites are right." But the king of the Ammonites ignored this message from Jephthah. Then the Spirit of the Lord entered Jephthah. Jephthah passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and the city of Mizpah and Gilead, to the land of the Ammonites. Jephthah made a promise to the Lord, saying, "If you will hand over the Ammonites to me, I will give you as a burnt offering the first thing that comes out of my house to meet me when I return from the victory. It will be the Lord's." Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord handed them over to him. In a great defeat, Jephthah struck them down from the city of Aroer to the area of Minnith, and 20 cities as far as the city of Abel-Karamim. So the Ammonites were defeated by the Israelites. When Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, his daughter was the first one to come out to meet him, playing a tambourine and dancing. She was his only child. He had no other sons or daughters. When Jephthah saw his daughter, he tore his clothes to show his sorrow. He said, "My daughter, you have made me so sad because I made a promise to the Lord and I cannot break it." Then his daughter said, "Father, you made a promise to the Lord, so do to me just what you promised, because the Lord helped you defeat your enemies, the Ammonites." She also said, "But let me do one thing. Let me be alone for 2 months to go to the mountains. Since I will never marry, let me and my friends go and cry together." Jephthah said, "Go." So he sent her away for 2 months. She and her friends stayed in the mountains and cried for her because she would never marry. After 2 months, she returned to her father, and Jephthah did to her what he had promised. Jephthah's daughter never had a husband. From this came a custom in Israel that every year the young women of Israel would go out for 4 days to remember the daughter of Jephthah from Gilead. Judges chapter 12. The men of Ephraim called all their soldiers together and crossed the river to the town of Zaphon. They said to Jephthah, "Why didn't you call us to help you fight the Ammonites? We will burn your house down with you in it." Jephthah answered them, "My people and I fought a great battle against the Ammonites. I called you, but you didn't come to help me. When I saw you would not help me, I risked my own life and went against the Ammonites. The Lord handed them over to me. So why have you come to fight against me today?" Then Jephthah called the men of Gilead together and fought the men of Ephraim. The men of Gilead struck them down because the Ephraimites had said, "You men of Gilead are nothing but deserters from Ephraim, living between Ephraim and Manasseh." The men of Gilead captured the crossings of the Jordan River that led to the country of Ephraim. A person from Ephraim trying to escape would say, "Let me cross the river." Then the men of Gilead would ask him, "Are you from Ephraim?" If he replied, "No," they would say to him, "Say the word Shibboleth." The men of Ephraim could not say that word correctly. So if the person from Ephraim said Shibboleth, the men of Gilead would kill him at the crossing. So 42,000 people from Ephraim were killed at that time. Jephthah was a judge for Israel for 6 years. Then Jephthah, the men from Gilead, died and was buried in a town in Gilead. After Jephthah died, Ibzan from Bethlehem was a judge for Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He let his daughters marry men who were not in his family group. And he brought 30 women who were not in his tribes to be wives for his sons. Ibzan judged Israel for 7 years. Then he died and was buried in Bethlehem. After Ibzan died, Elon from the tribe of Zebulun was a judge for Israel. He judged Israel for 10 years. Then Elon, the man of Zebulun, died and was buried in the city of Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. After Elon died, Abdon, son of Hillel, from the city of Pirathon, was a judge for Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He judged Israel for 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the mountains where the Amalekites lived.
Chapter 17.
Jesus told his disciples, "Situations that cause people to lose their faith are certain to arise, but how horrible it will be for the person who causes someone to lose his faith. It would be best for that person to be thrown into the sea with a large stone hung around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to lose his faith. So watch yourselves. If a believer sins, correct him. If he changes the way he thinks and acts, forgive him. Even if he wrongs you 7 times in one day and comes back to you 7 times and says that he is sorry, forgive him." Then the apostles said to the Lord, "Give us more faith." The Lord said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea,' and it would obey you." Suppose someone has a servant who is plowing fields or watching sheep. Does he tell his servant when he comes from the field, "Have something to eat"? No. Instead, he tells his servant, "Get dinner ready for me. After you serve me my dinner, you can eat yours." He doesn't thank the servant for following orders. That's the way it is with you. When you've done everything you're ordered to do, say, "We're worthless servants. We've only done our duty." Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee on his way to Jerusalem. As he went into a village, 10 men with a skin disease met him. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, teacher, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he told them, "Show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he was healed, he turned back and praised God in a loud voice. He quickly bowed at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Weren't 10 men made clean? Where are the other 9? Only this foreigner came back to praise God." Jesus told the man, "Get up and go home. Your faith has made you well." The Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. He answered them, "People can't observe the coming of the kingdom of God. They can't say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is.' You see, the kingdom of God is within you." Jesus said to his disciples, "The time will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will say, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Don't run after those people. The day of the Son of Man will be like lightning that flashes from one end of the sky to the other. But first, he must suffer a lot and be rejected by the people of his day. When the Son of Man comes again, the situation will be like the time of Noah. People were eating, drinking, and getting married until the day that Noah went into the ship. Then the flood destroyed all of them. The situation will also be like the time of Lot. People were eating, drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from the sky and destroyed all of them. The day when the Son of Man is revealed will be like that. On that day, those who are on the roof shouldn't come down to get their belongings out of their houses. Those who are in the field shouldn't turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Those who try to save their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives will save them. I can guarantee that on that night, if 2 people are in one bed, one will be taken and the other one will be left. 2 women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other one will be left. They asked him, "Where, Lord?" Jesus told them, "Vultures will gather wherever there is a dead body."